Joining us now, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Why did you give me that big laugh?
Because
big
you did a pretty good job. You got all your stuff taken care of, 92.3, 1620. You keep this up, you'll be
channels. Employee
of the month.
Yeah. Not me.
Well, if you kind of keep quiet.
That's a whole different question, yeah. Okay, so pretty serious subject. We had a 16-year-old shot who, I believe, passed away, and then you guys have arrested a 19-year-old in connection with. Is that right?
Yeah, how tragic is this? We get a call that an individual had been shot, and we get up there, and we're not sure because they're screaming and yelling, and it appears like it was a disturbance initially. Come to find out, there was a 19-year-old. We determined that Ethan O'Brien, who's 19 years old, he was showing off a firearm to a crowd of kids or another group of kids, apparently acquaintances of his. I don't know how close they are, but acquaintances at least. And the gun goes off, and it strikes the 16-year-old in the chest, and he was deceased at the scene. The 19-year-old doesn't decide to help. He takes off and flees, and then he turned himself in yesterday. So he's been charged with manslaughter through negligence. Mm-hmm. You know, manslaughter covers a number of different things, and in this particular case, we determined it was negligent to do what he did, and charged him accordingly.
Yeah, and as you say, negligence is where, you know, the harm was not intended, wasn't premeditated, wasn't born out of malice, but was born out of a failure to properly take care of the safety of other people or yourself when you should have, right?
Yeah, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's through negligence, and you know, it's just so tragic. I've noticed a lot of comments about it that, you know, two lives were lost, and
yeah.
Obviously, my thoughts and prayers go out to the victim and the victim's family.
Yeah.
And then this particular individual has to deal with this for the rest of his life as well. And, you know, I hate to say it's a cautionary tale, but it's something that we talk about all the time, that you have a responsibility if you own or possess a firearm.
Yeah.
And everyone should know by now never to point a weapon, whether you think it's loaded or not, whether you intend to pull the trigger or not, at an individual. It's just it's a dangerous thing to happen.
And you and I have even talked about this, that, you know, like your concealed carry weapon, right, is, I mean, typically that's a gun that's ready to pull the trigger, shoot, right? That's, you know, that's right. The way it is. Because if it's a situation where you need your gun, you're usually going to need it real fast, and you're not going to have time to sit there, take it out, then chamber around, and then, you know. But that means that gun is ready to go.
Right.
And ordinary citizens, right? So, okay, if you take your concealed carry weapon off of your person and lay it on a counter or on a table or in your dresser or something like that, how do you point it? Well, away, you know, or in a safe direction. Just like, those are the kind of habits that good gun safety takes into account, because you're always thinking, this can kill somebody. And that's why you don't do things like clean it when it's loaded, fail to check it before you hand it to another person, right? All that kind of stuff, right?
Well, and I'll give you an example. When we do our range training, we all go into a room and then we clean our weapons. Mm-hmm. And even in that scenario, when the weapon is partially disassembled,
right,
and we still do not point those weapons, it becomes a habit. And I've not been in the military, but I understand the military does the same thing. You do not point weapons at somebody unless you intend to shoot at them or shoot them.
Well, we're kind of off the criminal side of it now, but just human behavior is a lot made up of habit. Habit of things that make you uncomfortable or things that make you comfortable. For me, the idea of throwing trash on the ground makes me very uncomfortable even to think about. Like, it's unthinkable, right, to me. As unthinkable as, you know, just handing a gun around and waving it in front of other people, even when I know, like, if I know it's not loaded, even disassembled, it just makes me uncomfortable to think about, because I've cultivated that habit, which is, of course, not with these.
Well, and that's what I do
kids.
With my boys. I tell them, do not, never point this gun. Even really toy guns.
Even toy guns.
You know, don't get in the habit of doing that. Now, when you're playing airsoft guns, obviously that's going to be.
But same thing, even there,
don't
do it.
Before the actual event, it becomes a habit, and you should just reiterate that to whoever, you know, might have an opportunity to have a gun.
As well, and somebody texts in, as well as the habit of don't show off the gun. These are all, everything
about
this
is bad behavior. Oh, that's self-explanatory, right? Yeah, no, I would agree 100%.
But all of this, it's all bad behavior, and tragic, of course, in this case. We also had a case of a sort of a road rage-related shooting, not at a person, but guy shot into an empty car. What happened here?
Well, that was what it started out to be, a disagreement over who's following who too closely or something like that. And then one car pulls into a, I think it's Rocky's Food Mart parking lot. They exchange words, and then the victim the owner of obviously the victim car, goes inside the mart, and then this guy pulls out a gun and he fires out, shoots the window out of the car, and then he drives off. And then so we end up finding him. We got a pretty good description of the gentleman. You can see a picture on our Facebook page.
Not the most blend-in kind of individual.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good idea. We had the right person when we saw the, you know, he had a description. Obviously, we knew the car, tag number. Right. We knew where he was going, and we ended up picking him up, and you can see a picture. He's a little happier than I think he should be for going to jail for these serious charges.
This is the guy sitting in the back of the car with the red beard and the flaming red hair, and he's a little overweight. You know, it's pretty easy to identify this guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's correct.
You know, So this is, in my mind, this is like when somebody gets angry at you and they take a crowbar to your window or they, you know, take a knife to your tire. That's like comparable level, except that it was a firearm. Is that kind of?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. So it's a vandalism / threat / mishandling of a gun, negligence, all of those things.
Road rage. That's what's going on here. Yeah. Bottom line is you can do that. You shouldn't do that. And you can be charged for that, obviously.
Which he was. So. He was. Okay. The only good news, nobody was hurt. So, I mean, that's always better news. We've had a couple of bills get signed. I talked about this a little bit yesterday with Sheriff Johnson, but I always like to get everybody's perspective if I can. The 25-foot keep your distance bill, which my initial reaction to that was, it seems like a ways. But then again, I understand. I assume you favor this bill. I mean, 25 feet is, what, two lanes of the road. So if somebody's over on the median and you're on the sidewalk, you're at your distance, right?
No, I'm in favor. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had an incident at Boys and Girls Club where we had our deputy doing his job, and he was attacked from behind. And, you know, if you're inclined to attack somebody, you may not care about the 25-foot distance, but at least it gives law enforcement room. And you've seen these videos where sometimes we have to wrestle people, and it's not always pretty. You know, it's a slinging back and forth. It's a swinging back some to the ground.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of a distance, and it's, I think it's helpful. I don't know that you need to be within that distance to videotape some, you know, cops if you think they're doing wrong.
Especially with modern cameras, you can zoom in very far. Yeah.
There's no reason for you to be right there breathing down the neck of the law enforcement officer. So I would agree with it. Just keep your distance. No one's saying you can't watch. No one's saying you can't pull out a phone or anything like that and record whatever you feel like you need to record. But it does, I do believe it gives a level of comfort and safety to the deputies or law enforcement officers that are trying to do the job.
And the way I kind of talked myself into thinking this was probably a good thing is I thought, okay, so if you make the distance 10 feet, okay, and then somebody decides to become a bad actor, when does the cop know that they're in danger?
Right.
You don't have any time. But 25 feet, if somebody decides to interfere, you've got some buffer at that point and some time to react, which is, I don't want the cop who's involved in an incident having to think all the time about what's going on around me. I want him focusing on winning that fight.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times they are,
or treating the patient or whatever,
right.
You know,
a lot of times, you know, the officer does have to look around. You have to be aware of your surroundings, and you understand you're in sometimes a hostile environment, and you have to look around and say, get back. I do think 25 gives you that little extra spatial awareness so that you can look back quickly and say, hey, get back a little bit or get back some, or just get back, period, because a lot of times you don't have time to be too specific. You're busy trying to do the job.
And
you know the guy you're grabbing hold of is trying to get away. He could be a danger to you. He could be fighting. He could be grabbing for a weapon. He could be doing anything. And then you got, you know, some other people to deal with. I think we should understand many times these are deputies or law enforcement officers that are doing the job typically by themselves. You know, like as was in the
initial response, one person, yeah.
So, you know, I think we should give them credit and give them all the room and the tools they need to do the job.
And, you know, the other thing is some people might wonder, well, does that mean that if, you know, like if the deputy tells me to come help or if he's losing the fight, which, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, it's okay for you to help them win the fight. You know,
how many times we talk about reasonableness?
Right. You know, be a good citizen. But if they tell you to come help, it's only if they warn you to stay away. So if they need your help, help them. I mean, by goodness, they're protecting your rights that you would be empowered to do on your own. They're just doing it in a more official capacity. So, you know, be of help, be of service, be of use to the cops. I did want to talk about this. I know this is something that's very important to law enforcement. It is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. And I will say it's not to be, you know, joking because it's such an important job, but we used to say dispatcher. Right. You know, and for an entity with full of employees and workers and professionals who their whole goal is to have efficient, fast communication, public safety telecommunicator is not the most efficient. Dispatcher is a pretty clear word, but I know it's broader than that. And this is such an important job.
Oh, if there's ever been an underappreciated job, then it's the,
Amen.
And I still call them dispatch. It's the job of the dispatch. It's the job of the telecommunicator. I know that having been out in the field, a lot of times we just talked about going to do a job by yourself. You're the first unit to get there, or the first unit, the first officer to get there. And then the only person that you have, the only lifeline you have is that dispatcher, mm-hmm. is that communication you have. And many times it amazes me how they can function. They can answer the phone. They can monitor a radio channel. They can switch channels. They can plug in calls. They can do so many things at one time. And, they can also know by the tone of your voice that they need to get another unit there, or they need to get, I call it unit, but, you know,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Another deputy there, a law enforcement officer there.
What's the distinction?
Is there? It's none. It just depends on what vernacular you used to use back
in the day. I just didn't know
if
unit meant it was two people or something. So the
it's kind of funny because it was at the police department, it's unit, whatever your number is.
Got
and
it.
At the sheriff's office, it's car.
Okay.
You know, it's unit 100 or car 100. It's all the same. It depends on how it started. Office they used to put your numbers out based on the car that you were driving. And I know at the police department, at least, we had it where it was just the individual officer themselves. So when I say unit, I mean deputy. I mean law enforcement officer.
Gotcha.
And you know, just so we're clear on that. But, yeah, I can't thank enough the job of the telecommunicators. And this week we take time to just sit back and think about that, because oftentimes, because you don't see them, because they're not
right.
in the forefront, that people don't understand the value that they bring to law enforcement or to fire or to EMS, because they're the ones that typically people talk to first. They're the ones that calm people down. They're the ones that have to get the information. They're the ones that, quite frankly, can save lives at times by giving advice. And they're the ones who can determine which officer goes to which call, which, you know, if you need a backup, if you want the channel on what we call emergency traffic, they'll do that stuff. And it's a sense that they get. It comes from experience, but it also comes from just an ability to understand the job and understand what's going on at any given moment.
It really takes a special person, and lives are in the balance every time you go to work. And even when it's a situation that's not like lives in the balance, it's psychological comfort for, I mean, you know, they're a counselor, they're a logistician, they are an assessor of the situation. They act as a kind of like, you know, the shift superintendent, the captain or whatever to assign resources. I mean, they do all of that. And as you say, under stress, staying calm, being effective. I mean, you know, it's an incredible job.
It gets, if I can take one more moment,
gets
better than that. At Pensacola NAS during the shooting, they were getting the phone calls from people that were in a room and not sure they can hear the gunshots, and they're not sure if they're going to survive, and the dispatcher's not certain if they're the last person they're going to talk to. During a Hurricane Ivan, I recall we did a lot of we put a lot of videos out and some audios out with some people that were trapped in their homes, and the dispatcher had to tell them, "We can't get to you. The conditions are so bad, we cannot get to mm-hmm. you." And again, you're talking to an individual that believes they're going to die. They believe that their life is ending, and that's a difficult thing to, you know, to deal with. Those are difficult conversations to have, and you also have the calls where a traffic accident has taken place, and you know, there someone you know, could be along their last couple minutes,
yeah.
and it's a very stressful. It's difficult, and there's also a level of, you know, it's heightened by the fact that you talk to people in what could be their worst moment, and it could be their last moment.
And I assume we have to cut it off here, but I assume the counseling that's available for your officers is also available for the telecommunicators.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Because I can, of course, they would need it.
Yeah.
Hey, one quick note too is a free event coming up this Saturday at Five Flags Speedway, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. Your big event that's going to be this Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct. Five Flags Speedway, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Insurance is free. Obviously, we're at the parking right next to the Five Flags Speedway. They'll be selling crawfish obviously, and hamburgers, hot dogs, and that sort of thing. There'll be games for children to play. There's a car show over there. Cat Country will be there. It is just, it's going to be another, it's our second annual one. The weather looks like it's going to be great, and we're gearing up for a great event. So come on up there. Again, it's free to get in. You can see You know, sheriff's personnel, canines, horses, all of our vehicles be up there. You can go walking around and climbing upon those, the ones that can be climbed upon.
You had me.
And then there's a movie too. There's a big movie screen. We're gonna show the movie Cars.
Oh, nice.
Obviously,
that makes
next to the Flat Flag Speedway. So it was a good event last year, and we look to continue to make it even better. It's the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation signature event, and again, the proceeds all go towards benefit of the sheriff's office engagement and wellness of the deputies.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time and thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate it.
You bet. You take care.